Welcome to Speed Vector, the podcast dedicated to the art, risk, and obsession of speed flying. I'm your host, Victor Garcia, speed flyer, skydiver, cinematographer, Navy veteran, and full-time gravity junkie. Every week, we dive into the lines we fly, the gear we trust, and the stories that push us past the ridge and into the void. Whether you're just learning to launch or chasing the perfect line, this is where speed flyers come to connect, learn, and stoke the fire. This is Speed Vector. What is up, Sky fam? Speed Vector followers, how's it going? We're back, episode 5. This is, I think, the second episode in a series that I forgot to talk about last episode, episode 4, where I'm going to dive into basically explaining, talking a little bit about every wing that I have experienced flying. So whether that's, you know, a couple of flights or a couple hundred flights, I want to dive into these specific wings, their characteristics, their mannerisms, what they're like, you know, to kind of deal with and how they fly. And I want to throw out a disclaimer that I am not sponsored by anybody. So these are all wings that I have acquired, or that, you know, whether I bought them or whether they were gifted to me or whether they were sold to me at a super fat discount, or whether they were borrowed from a friend. They were never sent to me by a company and told me to endorse them by any way. I wish, maybe someday, that'd be cool. But at the same time, that could also pigeonhole me into flying just a specific line of wings and not be able to try all of them. I really like to try different wings out. I really, really appreciate, you know, every company that makes speed wings, and I want to fly their entire line, like every wing and every size. And that is like, if I could have my dream come true, it would be like, besides like, you know, perfect conditions at the perfect site all the time, it would be able to test these wings out and build an honest opinion about them. Maybe someday with this podcast that will be a thing, because, you know, as I do this, I'll get better at speaking on things, and maybe, just maybe, these companies will see value in that. Because when I was first starting in the sport, there was like little to no information regarding, you know, the wings, their mannerisms, characteristics, and I was coming from skydiving, so I had like a pretty solid knowledge of like canopy piloting and how wings are feel and how, you know, different shapes and sizes affect, you know, the experience. And it's the same thing in speed flying and speed riding. It's just, if nobody talks about those experiences, then you kind of have to just pull the trigger on something and then like figure out what you like. And that's pretty much what happened. I started my speed flying journey on a 15 meter swing Spitfire 2 Plus, which is a wing that is designed almost exclusively for speed riding. And the reason that it is different is just it's trimmed a little bit steeper. They're designed to be skied with, so it's got like a shorter line set typically, and maybe a little bit lighter material, which is good and bad. Depends on, you know, your perspective and kind of what you're used to. And they also, they don't foot launch very well, you know, because they're designed to be done with skis on. So you're going downhill, you know, you're not really worried about generating enough forward speed to get off the ground if you want to, you know. And the cool thing about wings that are designed for speed riding in general is that they do stay connected to the ground pretty well if you want it to. So obviously not a great wing to learn on. I already had experience though, which was helpful. If I could go back, maybe I would have gotten something a little bit different. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all good. I put a couple hundred flights in that thing and then sold it, and, you know, all was well. So But with that being said, that leads me into the wing that I'm going to talk about today, which is the Level Wings Fizz. It is marketed as a wing for every rider, and the emphasis on that is rider. It doesn't say every flyer, because this wing is almost exclusively, I would say probably 80% speed riding, 20% speed flying. Now let me just back it up for a second so you understand the nuance here for anybody that might be new to this realm. Speed flying and speed riding are very different and also the same thing. So what is speed riding? Well, speed riding specifically is where you are speed flying with skis on. It basically opens up skiing in a whole different realm, because you have, you know, the wing is over your head, you're flying the wing and also making a ski descent down a mountain. Now that can look a bunch of different ways. That could just be like you're at a ski resort in Europe and or in the backcountry in the US, and you are in a very snowy place, and it you can't foot launch because you're going to be in waist deep snow, because you'll just, you know, post hole through, your feet will punch through the snow, you won't be able to run, right? So that's one thing. It does make launching easier in some regard and harder in others. I'll do a whole other episode on speed riding and kind of my experiences with it and how different it is. It's a different episode. I do want to just talk about the Level Wings Fizz today, but it is important to understand the differences in the vocabulary and what I am saying. So speed riding, you're doing it with skis on. You're speed flying with skis. Speed flying is the same thing. You just are removing the ski from the equation, or the skis from the equation. What does that entail? That entails foot launching, so meaning like you're getting the wing over your head, you're taking off running if there's, you know, the conditions, you know, dictate that and the terrain, and you are taking flight based off of your own ability to run fast enough to get to that airspeed where the wing is pressurized and you are getting off the ground. That also entails that you are landing on your 2 feet. So, you know, you're coming into land and you're, you know, doing your whole thing, and you get to the end of your flare and your feet touch the ground, you run, or you, you know, do a tiptoe landing where you're just in one spot and you're good, versus speed riding where your skis are on the whole time and, you know, you launch, you fly your line, or you fly and ski your line, and then you land on your skis in the same manner that you'd be landing on your feet. You are just now skiing again. So two differences there. The Level Wing Fizz is marketed and designed for speed riding in mind. Like, that's kind of the point of this wing. Now, it is my experience with it. I have a 10 meter Fizz. I have the original Fizz. There is a Fizz 2 that came out, I think, last year. They did make some changes to it. I'm on their website looking at it, and I think one of the only things they changed was like something to do with the cells and how I think it's a little bit more downward facing, so it just stays like the cells or the cell openings are a little bit more downward facing, so it stays pressurized at like a broader range on the lower end of the airspeed spectrum. So like if you're going really freaking slow and your wing gets mushy and like it's not super pressurized, it's not like rigid and like responsive, I think the level or the Fizz 2 has a higher threshold for lower speed. I think that's the only thing they changed, just based off of what I'm seeing pictures wise and what they're saying. You can see all this if you just go to levelwings.com, check out the Fizz 2, and there's probably some like, you know, retro grade or whatever Fizz website pages that will kind of talk about that. But it won't compare the two unless you go to like a third party website that compares the two, which I'm sure exists. If it doesn't, it should. Some key points with the Fizz 2. So it is a stubby little looking wing. It's honestly, like, looks wise, it's the smallest wing I own, even though I have a 9 meter Rapidos, which is a whole meter smaller. So it's significant. That's significant. It is significantly smaller. But it is like wingtip to wingtip quite a bit longer. And then leading edge to trailing edge quite a bit shorter. So it's like a skinnier, longer wing. The Fizz is a little bit fatter looking, like it's stubby. So for, I know I'm like saying this, there are like technical terms for all of this. I'm just trying to dumb it down as much as I can because it's easy to get lost in the terminology sauce. You know, if you don't understand what chord line is or what aspect ratio is, it's like, wait, hang on. What does that mean again? Okay, whatever. We're just going to say wingtip to wingtip is shorter on the Fizz. And leading edge to trailing edge is longer. So it's a, like, it's a wider looking wing. I mean, it's wider, like nose to tail, right? So it's fatter looking. The other difference too is that, the line set is quite a bit shorter. So like my 9 meter Rapidos has a short line set because it's a 9 meter, but by comparison, it's actually quite a bit longer. And there's pros and cons to that. With the Fizz, because it's got speed riding in mind, those short line sets are nice because when you are speed riding and you're skiing, you know, and you're flying at the same time, when your skis are on the ground, you're making a turn. Let's say you're making a right-hand turn. With a short line set, what happens is that wing has less of a tendency to lag. And what do I mean by lag? Well, you initiate that right turn with your skis, you know, your head's looking right, your chest is going right, your feet are, your legs are following you, your skis are coming around. With a short line set, that wing, that right wing tip, or the, well, really the right and the left wing tip are going to mirror you. They're going to follow you around. It's not going to lag. With a longer line set, there's a tendency, if you're not like really up front and on it, like meaning you're giving it that right brake input, like before you initiate your turn, you almost are like leading the wing, like you're following, like you are following the wing at that point. If you don't do that with a longer line set wing, it's going to delay the turn and you'll end up in a scenario where you're kind of crossed up. So like you're turning right, but the wing is still kind of going in the direction it was going before you initiated that turn. And it can create problems, instability. If you're going fast, it can collapse. It can yank you. You know, if it's a really small wing, it's got the potential of just full on collapsing and then turning into a ball of crap. And then you're all tangled up in your lines and your wing, with, you know, sharp ski edges and stuff. It's not ideal. So the shorter line set makes for a more responsive wing, like edge to edge. So like the roll axis of it. So, you know, your right wing tip and your left wing tip, if you can picture, like, you know, you're standing in one spot and you're bouncing the right wing tip off of the ground and then you're bouncing the left wing tip off the ground, like back and forth, you know, kind of like a pendulum and a clock. That is greatly increased in responsiveness, that roll effect. And what that does is it makes it easier, you know, to speed ride with confidence and not be like looking like a bag of crap up there, you know, having your wing lag behind you kind of. So that's one major benefit. Another thing that I noticed about the line set, with the Fizz is that they are really thick lines. I don't remember what type of lines they are, but they're like way more thick. I'm just comparing it to the 9 meter Rapidus because they're similar size. They have like reinforced sheathed lines. The one that I have, you can get it without that. So it will probably do fine in the speed riding world. And I will definitely test this coming winter, but, they will be more fragile, excuse me, when it comes to ski edges and stuff. Obviously, you don't want to run over your lines with your skis because they are sharp, you know, and you will for sure like damage them if you do it enough times and if you're not careful. I think in the right circumstances, it doesn't really matter what type of lines you have, how thick or how thin, or if they're reinforced or sheathed or whatever. You're still probably going to punch through them, you know, if you get it with the right tension and the right angle. So definitely want to be mindful of that. You know, the goal is to not, you know, become a gift wrap. So sliding down the mountain. But it does have very burly lines. They're not the fastest because they are sizable and they like big diameter, and they do create drag. It doesn't seem like it would be much, but it actually is. And pretty noticeable once you get kind of more, into wings and kind of how they feel. Once you gain more experience and knowledge in that, you really start to understand little nuanced differences. Anyway, I digress. Moving down to the risers, this is in the paragliding world, they call it a two-liner. In my world, it has two risers instead of three. So like your traditional, typical speed wing, the Rapidos, the R3, the R3X, other speed wings from level, most speed wings have three risers on each side. The Fizz has two. I think the reasoning for that is it just simplifies like everything when it comes to launching, and just like clipping in and stuff. It's just very simple because you're not looking at three risers on each side. You're looking at two. So you've got your fronts and your rears. It's same thing in skydiving. Skydiving canopies all have two risers on each side. Similar concept. I do not know, and I will have to look this up, if you can fly on rear risers with the Fizz. I imagine you can. I just imagine that it's a little bit touchy. Just because, when you have a three riser group, when you're pulling on the rears, you're also pulling on the B's. So you're pulling on the C riser. It's, A's the front, B's the middle, C's are the rear. And it's, you got some play in there, you're not manipulating the B line set, within that, within that riser group as significantly as you would be in a two line or a two riser setup, because, they're directly connected to where the B's would be and the C's. So I would look that up. I've never tried it. I've only flown on toggles, and honestly, it feels really good on toggles. So I'm just going to keep flying on toggles. Also, when you're speed riding, you need that like quick input, and you get a lot more response out of brakes on any wing. It doesn't matter what it is, unless we're talking about, the reflex risers from Flare or any kind of parakite. That's a whole different realm. Talked about that last episode. I won't dive into it here, but we're talking about a traditional setup, or your typical setup. If you're flying on rear risers, it's a much more delayed response. On smaller wings, it's not, but even still, if you compare it to brake input, it is a lot more delayed, or it's just less pronounced. It might not be delayed by any means, but it is less pronounced. So, I'm flying on toggles with this thing. The cool thing too about these toggles is that they are asymmetric. It's really hard to put them on the wrong way. They are designed to be, hand through, like put your hand through it. And then there's actually a ball, like a plastic ball that's at the top of it that is then tied into your brake lines, or your brake lines are tied into it rather. And, it's very ergonomical. It feels good. It's very like solid. Like you just like feel it. You're like, yeah, like this is a really good toggle setup. Honestly, from your typical speed wing side of the house, these are my favorite toggles. Sorry about that. Had a little technical issues, but all is well now. We are back in the business, back in the game, and we're recording. So here we go. What was I talking about? Man, I was on a rant. Sorry about that. Anyway, so yeah, I was talking about the toggles. These things are sweet. I honestly, if I had, I don't know, the more of a desire, I guess, I would probably put those toggles on like everything that I fly that isn't a parakite, because I really like the asymmetricalness of it. I like that it's really hard to mess up, how you like slip your hand through. And I really like that there's a hard ball like that's sizable to hang on to. I kind of put the ball between like my pointer and middle finger and, you know, from like above. So the brake line is running between those two fingers up. And I just, I have a lot of control that way. It feels really good. Anyway, the Rapidos doesn't have anything like that. It's literally like a 550 cord loop. You know, that's like got like a design, like it's like a pattern. If you know what I'm talking about, you know, they have this like 550 cord bracelets with the snaps, that are supposed to be like, you know, emergency 550 cord, like God forbid you're like out in the bush somewhere and you know, you need some 550 cord, you know, you got this sweet little bracelet. It kind of looks like that. It's just, it doesn't have anything above it. So there's just like a little grommet thing and it's tied through that. I don't even know if grommet's the proper term for this little piece of hardware, but it's tiny and there's not that much to grab onto. So it's kind of an odd toggle. It's almost like you almost want to fly it like you would like a skydiving parachute where you don't, you know, necessarily fish your arm or your hand through. You just kind of hang onto it with your fingers. I haven't flown it that way because that's not how I like to fly speed wings, but it is like kind of I literally end up pinching the top or the very bottom, I guess, of the brake line that attaches to the toggle itself with my pointer finger and thumb. And it's just odd. It's just kind of like it's something's missing there. I know they changed that, Ozone did, for the R3 and beyond, but anyway, we're not talking about the Rapidos today. We'll talk about that on another episode, maybe the next episode. But yeah, the Fizz. So I've done probably 10 speed ride days with it, and I don't know, maybe 10 total laps foot launched. I don't fly it that often. I will say that the few times I have flown it, there was a little bit of wind coming up the face when I was foot launching it. Speed riding is not as critical, although trying to launch in a tailwind, regardless of whether you're on skis or not, is a challenge. The thing is ground hungry for sure. Now, granted, I fly a 10 meter Fizz. I weigh 160 pounds. My all up weight is 175. That's 80 kilograms. For those metric folks out there, I don't know what my wing loading is with the Fizz. I do know that it is close to a 2-to-1 or like a 2.0, maybe 1.9. So that's, you know, 2 pounds per square foot. That is a relatively heavy wing load. Not really, but it's not in the beginner category. It's more in the like advanced and beyond category because when you get to heavier wing loads, you're flying faster for sure. It's not a big wing to begin with, so you're going to be flying fast regardless, but you know, you're flying faster. The response from the wing to any input that you give it is going to be very pronounced and quick. Because the Fizz is designed for like your beginner speed riding pilot, it's not incredibly touchy. I would say, like, just to compare it to what we've been comparing it to, the 9 meter Rapidos is a very touchy wing. You know, you pull on a toggle and you feel it instantly. You do a weight shift and the wing is responding instantly. There is no wasted energy in that thing. The Fizz has a little bit of a buffer in that, like, the brake range is a little bit longer. You know, you have to give it a little bit more input with your hands to get it to do what you want to do, but we're still splitting hairs here because we're talking about a very small amount of movement of input rather to get the wing to do what you want it to do. The reason that's dangerous for beginners or people that are, you know, less experienced is that people have the tendency to overfly, like to overcorrect. So, you know, let's say, you know, you want to make a left turn, you got to do it kind of quick. If you give it a lot of juice, if you really yank on that left toggle, that thing is going to freaking go, and it's going to be fast. And then you're going to have to, you're going to overshoot that turn, and you're going to have to correct with your right toggle. And it turns into this like circus act where you're just flailing and you're just doing crazy stuff with your hands. Your body position's all out of whack. Your weight is probably not in the right spot. Like you're, in order to be like smooth, you gotta be in sync. So what does that mean? Like your hands and your body weight have to be in unison. Sorry, one of my dogs is throwing a temper tantrum right now. So anyway, it is going to be more responsive with a heavier wing loading, no matter what wing you're flying. Okay. So I haven't flown anything bigger or smaller than a 10 meter Fizz in the Fizz line. I have only flown a 10 meter Fizz. So that is what I'm speaking on. This wing likes to roll because, the shape, number one, number two, the size, of course, the wing loading, we've already talked about that. But number three is the really short line set. So really short lines creates a more rolly wing. If you have longer lines, it's like the pendulum effect is much less pronounced, or it's more pronounced, but it's slower. With a shorter line set, you're just more connected to the wing. So it's going to be more responsive right off the bat, no matter if it's a 14 meter or a 6.8 meter, it's going to be very responsive. Well, actually there's no 6.8 meter Fizz. There's an 8.5, a 10, I think like an 11.5, then like a 13 point something, and then like a 14 point something or a 16, I think. So it there's a pretty long, it's pretty good range of sizes that you can choose from. Obviously, if you are truly a beginner speed riding pilot and you're new to speed flying in general, you want to be on a bigger size. You want to be flying the like 14.5. I wouldn't go down much below that. It's just going to be more fun, a lot safer too. But, you know, the last thing you want to do is like launch a small speed wing and not know what you're doing and like overcorrect and get hurt, you know, or maybe you make it all the way down, but it scares you so bad that you just don't want to fly anymore. I talked about that, I think, on the first episode or the second, maybe the progression episode, just not downsizing too quickly. Talking about this wing in a, like a ground handling format, it is, or ground handling perspective, it is by far my favorite wing to kite. It inflates very smoothly, very quickly, but it doesn't overshoot. Even in high wind, it really doesn't overshoot much. You can like, even on like a kind of a lighter wind day, like 10 miles per hour, if it's laminar or even not, you can get that thing up and it'll just park itself right over your head. And that's what's so cool. Like you can go totally hands-free, you know, in a kiting scenario and just stand there. And as long as, you know, you're just doing little hip movements to kind of correct a little bit of oscillation or whatever, the wing stays put, which is really cool. And that is something that Level Wings achieved. And I think they strove for that when they were designing this wing, because it's a stable wing that is predictable and that is really easy to fly. I mean, truly, like that thing's super fun to ground handle. It's a blast. It's especially with the 10 meter, it's not big. It's, you can dance around with it. You can, you know, do like twirls and you can reverse kite it really well. It's like, it's just a dream to handle. And it's really hard to get yanked because it's so small. Obviously, if you had a bigger one, you know, and it was super windy, you might be at risk for getting yanked around and drug and whatever. But in the smaller size, it's like quite fun, and it's responsive, but it's not over responsive. It reacts, but it doesn't overreact. It's just like an all around, really stable, really nice wing to both kite and fly. I wouldn't, if this was the only wing I had, whatever, that's what I would use all the time. But like on my, during like the summer months and then, you know, in the fall, when I'm not speed riding and I'm just purely foot launching speed flying, right? I wouldn't grab this wing, I don't think. I mean, I probably put, like, into the ski season, I think I did like 10 speed ride laps at a place that I will not talk about, kind of nearby where I live in Washington. And I think I've done like 2 or 3 foot launch laps, obviously pre-injury. And the reason being is just because, like, it's not my go-to for foot launching, because it does take, I got to really be on it, you know, because it is a ground hungry wing. It does have a tendency to dive off launches, especially foot launches. The only time I've ever foot launched it was with like at least 10 miles per hour coming up the face. And even then it's like, you kind of want a little bit more, because, you know, even if it's a steep, you know, launch, or if the launch isn't, but the ground goes away from you pretty quick after launch, you're still like flying pretty close to the ground before it really gets going. And that is a potentially dangerous scenario. So it's not my favorite for foot launching, but it is doable. I think with a bigger size, it might just make it more fun. Like, it might make like for me or whatever, flying a 14 meter more fun, because it's still going to launch like a 14 meter. It's going to be fine, but it's going to fly faster off the bat than a normal 14 because of how it's trimmed. Which is just steeper, right? And like I said earlier in this podcast, it is trimmed steeper for speed riding purposes. If you have a wing that's really flat trimmed and you have the trim closed, it's going to be harder to stay on the ground when you're speed riding. Meaning, like, it's going to be harder to like ski, because a lot of people that speed ride, like, yeah, they're doing it to fly, but it's part of the fun of it is like putting in tracks where you normally can't, because you either have to stop at the end and turn around and hike back up because there's a massive cliff, or you just wouldn't be up there to begin with because the risk is too high. In a speed riding scenario, you can literally, in theory, put tracks in places where nobody has, because without a parachute, it wouldn't be possible. It wouldn't be survivable, because if you go off the end of a 300-foot cliff, you know, without a parachute, you're not going to fare well. It's not going to be good, you know? So, it opens up the door to put in lines where people normally cannot, which is really cool. And that's kind of, I think, how the sport kind of originated. I mean, it originated in France from a speed riding perspective. You know, the first speed flights were actually speed rides, different episode altogether, like I said, but it's really cool. The Fizz, really cool wing. I'm excited to try the Fizz 2. I haven't had the ability to yet, but I want to, because I'm curious if it feels different. I also want to fly the 8 meter, or I think the 8.5, like the smallest size. The 10 meter is cool. I'm just curious what the 8 meter feels like, because with the 10, I can ski pretty fast without leaving the ground with it, but there is a limit to that. You know, once you get to a certain speed, you're going to get off the ground. And not that I don't want to get off the ground, but I do really enjoy making turns with the speed wing over my head. Because it is like ground handling on steroids. It's a lot harder than regular speed flying, in my opinion, just because there's more factors. You know, you're obviously doing two sports at the same time that require a lot of attention and skill, you know, to do at a high level, or even just to do safely. So it's a fun challenge. I think the Fizz makes that challenge a little bit easier on like the canopy piloting side. Obviously you still have to know how to ski, and ski pretty well to be able to like not think about skiing and just manipulate your wing. The goal should be to be able to do both simultaneously without thinking about either. And that's the goal. But even being like, I ski for work, you know, I've been skiing since I was 3. I'm a professional ski patrolman. I'm good. I'm pretty good at skiing. And I'm a pretty good speed pilot. Even combining the two, I'm still thinking about what I'm doing, because I just don't get to do it that much. It's not a lift accessible sport in the US currently. Hopefully that changes, but for now it's not. It's not like I live in Europe where, you know, I could take the lift up or the gondola up and then do, you know, 20 speed laps a day. Like, it'd be like literally, like out there, it's like going for a ski day, where you know, you do 20 ski laps in a day. We'll now do that same thing, but with a speed wing inside a resort boundary line and have a gondola take you to the top every time. That is my dream. Like, I've got to get out to Europe to do that because that'd be sick. Ideally, it would be legal in the U.S., but it's not, liability and stuff. And it, but, you know, as the sport grows, I think that there's potential for it. So fingers crossed, hoping to hopefully make that a reality in the next 10 years. That's one of my goals, at least help, you know, get it to that point. And I know there's a lot of people that feel the same. So I think if we unite and get the right people talking, you know, to the right people as well, it could be a thing. So anyway, that is divergent from this topic. I think I'm going to wrap it up there. If you have any questions about the Fizz or about any other wing, if I've flown it, you know, I can speak on it. And if I haven't, I probably know someone that has. So just reach out via the Instagram, speed.vector, or go on YouTube, speedvector, and you know, leave a comment on a video there, or these podcasts are actually uploaded on YouTube as well. So you can check it out there. Yeah. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you all being a part of this. I think I'm about to hit 50 downloads, and that's not bad for four episodes. You know, we'll see how this one goes, and excuse me, hopefully keep this thing growing and rolling. Anything anybody wants me to talk about on here, like I said, just reach out and we'll get it on the air. So appreciate you guys. Look cool. Stay safe. Have fun. We'll see you on the next one. Speed Vector out.